My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. Chakra is a lovely word derived from Sanskrit and usually translated as wheel or disc, referring to the spinning wheels of energy or light making up the subtle body. Each chakra is associated with an aspect of body, mind, and spirit. Meditation on the chakras promotes health, balance, and peace. The chakras also relate to our personalities, our relationships with others, and the way we see ourselves in the world. My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Shai Tubali, says there is a direct correlation between each of the seven major chakras and our personalities. Shai Tubali is an author, speaker, and innovator in the field of inner transformation and personal development. He's a leading authority in the field of self-development and self-empowerment. In his writings and teachings, he skillfully combines psychology, philosophy, yogic traditions, and Eastern thought and practices into powerful processes of inner transformation. Shai lives in Berlin, where he runs the Human Greatness Center. At his center, he leads yearly schools and holds seminars, trainings, and talks, all broadcast online, drawing participants from around the world. Born in Israel in 1976, Shai became an active journalist and columnist in Israel's major newspapers and one of its leading radio stations. His writing career started at the age of 19, where he became nationally recognized as a novelist. Though he is mainly dedicated to direct guidance, he's never neglected his artistic passions. His latest creation as a filmmaker, writing and directing the first short film, After the Future, last year. He's the author of several best-selling books and joins me this week to discuss his latest work, The Seven Chakra Personality Types. Please welcome to Destination Unlimited, Shai Tubali. Good evening, Shai.
Good evening, Victor. I'm delighted to be here.
And thank you so much for joining us. So, Shai, please share with us about your early path and how it led to journalism and broadcasting.
Well, I think my writing career started as early as my childhood. I was the kind of kid who would sit in the room and writing at the age of 10, essays on the meaning of life without even understanding what I was writing about. So I became a journalist at a very early age, and then moved on to become indeed a broadcaster in a radio station, and later on a columnist. But slowly but surely, I started to embark on a conscious spiritual journey. I'm saying conscious because I think also before that, it was working in my subconscious and influencing my writing in terms of self-search, but it became conscious, spiritual quest, and that was, I think, the end of my journalistic career
now,
and literary career.
Absolutely. Now, when were you first drawn to the Siddha Yoga tradition?
Oh, I started first being guided by certain spiritual teachers, independent spiritual teachers. But then somewhere at the age of 26, I was lucky enough, privileged enough to meet my real yogi teacher, whose name is Dr. Gabriel Cousins. He is an American medical doctor, but really at the... at his heart, he is a true yogi, initiated by Swami Muktananda. They both belong to what is called the Nityananda tradition. And this tradition is wholly focused on the art and knowledge of Kundalini and subtle anatomy. This, of course, includes the chakras. And that was obviously my initiation into the world of chakras.
Now, this tradition, as you mentioned, was passed down by Bhagavan Nityananda to Swami Muktananda and currently now led by Guru Mai. Tell us about what the Siddha tradition means. What is it all about?
Yes, that is exactly the point. It's all about Kundalini. Kundalini is the dormant life force residing at our lower spine is actually a complete science. It's a science of health, but it's also, of course, a science of spiritual transformation. And in this tradition, the teachers are dedicated to mastery over this force and the capacity to guide it at will. So this tradition includes also what is called the Shakti Path, which is the subtle transmission of energy from a spiritual master to the ripe and mature spiritual aspirant. So that is basically the knowledge that is passed on from teacher to student.
How would you describe the experience that you had receiving Shaktipat?
Well, it's a diverse experience, and it all, of course, depends on your level of development, at what stage you are. But there is a certain point in which Shaktipat is not only meant to simply stimulate your Kundalini energy, which means arousing the dormant spiritualizing force within your subtle anatomy, but at a certain point, it is actually meant to lead this force to the almost what is traditionally regarded as the almost impassable realm of the crown chakra, and there we need a spiritual master to guide it. This is according to tradition, and then when that happens, it first of all feels as if a river. A gushing river began to stream, to flow throughout your spine, and to literally break your head open. This means that your head becomes one with the nothing, with emptiness, with pure infinity, and makes you unify with the great consciousness.
And how does one go about raising the Kundalini energy? What are the practices to bring the Kundalini energy up?
Well, that depends. There are traditions that are very keen on pushing the Kundalini forward, on making it happen. The tradition that I belong to does not promote this kind of practices. It is a very feminine-like work on Kundalini, which means that of course it provides knowledge and the constant Shaktipat, but above all it's all about intention, devotion, meditation, but without a clear intention to push it. It's a sort of a pure ecstasy. Sometimes the use of mantras that makes the Kundalini be attracted to what we call the cosmic Kundalini or Shiva that resides or hovers over our crown chakra towards a sort of a cosmic union between these two forces, the one that is our personal individual force within our spine and the heavenly force that is basically all over.
So in essence, in your tradition, the devotion, the meditation, those practices naturally will cause the Kundalini to rise without forcing it.
Exactly. Because the thing is that Kundalini is aroused anyway in any type of spiritual experience. I know that that some teachers say, we don't deal with Kundalini, we don't believe in Kundalini. But then I say, but Kundalini believes in you, which means that Kundalini, whatever form of practice, whatever form of spiritual experience one may undergo, Kundalini is always active and is actually the enabling force that makes the spiritual experience possible. Therefore, even with strong spiritual intention, what we do is we force, but of course indirectly, the Kundalini energy to be aroused from from the lower spine all the way upward against the law of gravity, which is basically the miracle of it.
And in essence, the practice of meditation, devotion, all of these wonderful things, actually opens the crown, doesn't it?
Yes. If one doesn't stop at any point, if one is really interested in union and not just in, let's say, relaxation or to remain stuck in some form of devotion, in prayer, if there is a truly passionate interest in cosmic union, in transcending oneself, in becoming one with the great whole, that is exactly the passion that Kundalini obeys, because that is what it's meant to do. It's meant to lead us back home.
Lead us back home. That's a wonderful way of saying that. How did you develop your interest in the chakras?
Again, that was the tradition, because before that I was experiencing some level of communication with my chakras, but only through the tradition and through my own initiation and the process of spiritual liberation that I became really interested in the science of chakras and in realizing that this is basically the best map of self-development that we have as humanity.
My guest is Shai Tubali. He's the author of The 7 Chakra Personality Types, and we'll be back with more of Shai after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Tune in to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World, with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance, reminding you that when you adopt a shelter pet, you discover all the things that make them unique. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Today, I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Shai Tubali. He's the author of The 7 Chakra Personality Types. So Shai, in the first segment, we talked about how your spiritual path unfolded, your experience with the chakras. For our listeners not familiar with them, please describe the 7 major chakras.
Well, for that we need at least an hour, but I would be very brief. We have the 7 chakras. We need to think of them as the white light being broken into 7 layers of colors, and And so we start with the deep red one that is called the first root chakra, that is all about stability, finding our ground, whether within and without, and creating a home for ourselves, a sense of belonging. I don't know how detailed I should be, but that's basically the main thing. And then it's also the foundation of the entire chakra system that is connected to stability. Then we have the second chakra, and that is connected with the color of orange, and that is the sacral chakra. It is based in our lower abdomen, in the area of the pubic bone, and that is the chakra of joy, of our ability to live in totality, to go through experiences, to not fear a life's adventure. Then there is the third chakra, which is the solar plexus. With the solar plexus chakra, which is associated with the color of yellow, and it is a sort of a yellow, a radiant sun. It is the source of our entire energy of willpower, our strength, our determination, the one that leads us the way, that makes us conquer destinations. And from there we climb to the heart chakra, which is very known, I guess. It is at the lower base of our chest. It is associated with the color of green, like nature. And it is all about a relationship, relating, how we communicate emotionally, and whether we accept ourselves, whether we accept others, whether we feel at home within ourselves and in intimacy. There is the throat chakra, which is at the lower base of the throat. It is associated with the color of blue, and this is the chakra of communication and interaction, the way we give voice to ourselves, to our individuality, the way we expose our innermost truth. And from there we move to the sixth chakra, the third eye, which is a little bit above the meeting point between the two eyebrows, and it is connected with the color of purple, and that is the chakra of clear insight, discrimination, our capacity to distinguish truth from illusion, and to know what is true within ourselves and in the impressions that we receive from society and from knowledge. And the last one is the seventh, the crown chakra, which is just middle of the tip of the top of our head. And that is the chakra that already transcends our individuality and is connected to our communication with the infinity that is literally above our heads. How much we are able to separate from our ego-oriented perception and to move to universal perception. So in this, of course, we can very clearly see how the chakras encompass the entire phenomenon of humanness.
Absolutely. Now, those are the seven major chakras. Are there others?
Yes, there are. There are sub chakras that some traditions go into the trouble of dividing into more. Some, by the way, even less. But what is important is these seven, because they really encompass all the different layers or centers of human beings. They cover our entire psychological development and our entire process of spiritual transformation. And that is why we usually traditionally don't tend to use more than that.
Okay. Now, your work has been called the psychology of chakras. How did you first connect the chakras with personality types?
Well, we need, first of all, of course, to separate the psychology of chakras and the personality types, because the psychology of chakras means it's the more universal or general processes of self-development that take us from what we can call dysfunctional psychological states to functional to balanced states to awakened states. And so the term psychology of chakras includes all these psychological processes of emotional maturation and mental maturation and spiritual maturation. And this means that all of us need to develop all our seven chakras essentially equally, because if we ever want to complete our maturation, our evolution as human beings, we need to really fully realize the lesson inherent, ingrained in each one of our seven chakras.
Okay, and then let's talk now about the chakra personality types. How did you come up with the chakra personality types?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because it all started with the realization that chakras are not just some kind of levels on some ladder we are meant to leave behind as soon as we climb up. They are actually each one of them is a sort of a lens, a way to look at the world. And a certain aspect of the dimension of our humanness, our human experience. And from that, I started realizing that each of us is more identified with one of these lenses, one of these worldviews, and that is actually the deep cause, the energetic cause, or the soul cause of our individuality, why we experience life and interpret life in a different way.
Now, how does your book, The Seven Chakra Personality Types, provide a means for each of us to determine what our chakra personality is?
It provides a full description of each of the seven types in a way that we actually, at a certain point while reading, we land on one chapter that we literally feel that we are reading about ourselves. And this experience is a sort of a self-recognition. That is truly important because it basically helps us to clear away and to separate from all those perceptions and interpretations and perspectives that we inherited from other people, from society, from our conditioning. And to be able to connect to the way that our soul wants us to see the world. Since this, the way we see the world, our special way to see the world, is deeply connected to our specific sense of meaning of life and our particular type of happiness. And to realize that actually there is no one prescription for happiness. There are actually seven, and even more when you start to realize that actually the chakra personality types include not only one major chakra type, but also a secondary and a supportive. So this means that we technically have 252 personality types in the world, and who have a completely different experience of happiness and meaning.
Let's look at the first chakra. Let's talk about the first chakra. The first chakra is known as the Muladhara or root chakra. What are the first chakra personality types, and are they truly grounded?
Yes. They are basically, they are even geographically speaking, they are the closest to the ground, to the earth, and obey in a way the law of gravity, which doesn't mean, of course, that they can never be spiritual, but that their core experience of life is of complete interest in the material world and how to use materials, how to make the surrounding more founded and more established, and to put everything into order, and to understand how the world works, to make the world in a sense a better place, but not in a dreamy idealistic sense, but more in the way that one can create a better foundation. So that's why we can find them in lawmaking, as doctors who love to understand anatomy and the way substances and medicine work, and so on. Earth workers, land workers, and even accountants, because they love numbers. They love to control the data of the world. So that is, of course, that makes them, because they are so heavily grounded and so interested in these things, they in terms of Ayurvedic medicine, they are sort of overly kapha-oriented, which makes them pretty lethargic and tired. They move between extremes of diligence and perseverance and lethargy and exhaustion. They are also utterly humorless.
No, not really. Humorless?
Yes, because they don't have possessed lightness. It doesn't mean that they cannot identify a good joke, but they would not be light beings in themselves.
My guest this week on Destination Unlimited is Shai Tubali. He's the author of The 7 Chakra Personality Types. Shai, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about you and your work.
Well, the book is everywhere. It's on Amazon. It's in every store in the United States, so that is easy. Sorry?
And your website?
Yes, my website is www.shaitubali, just as my name without any interruption, .com. And I also manage a very active English Facebook page, which is called the 7 Awakenings.
And we'll be back with more of Shai Tubali and the 7 Chakra Personality Types after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT. G-O-A-T. Acronym. Stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Mm-hmm. back on Destination Unlimited. My guest this week is Shai Tubali. He's the author of The Seven Chakra Personality Types. So in the last segment, Shai, we were talking about the people who live in the first chakra, and you said sort of that they're humorless, which they appreciate a joke, but don't have a lot of sense of humor. I think we need to give them all a sense of humor. I think we all need to be able to laugh, and you know, it's important to be grounded, but it's also important to laugh and get silly exactly. from time to time. Now, the second chakra is the let me see if I can pronounce this properly, the Svadhisthana or sacral chakra. What yeah. personality traits are associated with this chakra?
Yeah, well, you just said we need to give the first chakra type some humor, and that is exactly why we need other chakra types to inspire us, you see, rather than judging them as being different than ourselves. So here is the second chakra type. I call them the artists, but this is just a metaphorical name. And they are truly humorous. They are the sensualists who think and feel through their body. And they have such a profound experience of the senses. They are sensitive to beauty and to nature and to art, and they are really poets at heart. So they are also a bit like children, because they have this childlike capacity to be in the moment and to go through experiences, and they experience this entire life as a sort of a huge entertainment park. They simply think that one lives only once, and therefore one needs to live in totality to feel everything. They are also pretty moody, so they move very easily between the extremes of extreme depression and then suddenly complete joy. They know the taste of ecstasy, and they are extremely colorful. Sometimes they suffer from the disadvantage of being quite uncommitted and unreliable. Because they live so much in the moment, they can't perceive the same purposeful life as others. You know, the 27 club of all those artists who unfortunately died at the age of 27. It doesn't mean that all second chakra type die at the age of 27. So many of them last much more. But this is the essence of a flare that bursts into the world and then disappears with the same intensity. They are extremely impulsive.
So in essence, the second chakra personality types we see as the artists, perhaps the actors and performers are in this group also?
Some of them, yes, yes. They share this talent with the fifth chakra type, to be continued.
and I know you just produced a film last year. Is that part of your personality?
No, not at all, not at all. This is the some art is... is used by the throat chakra speakers to express certain ideas, certain concepts. They are much more conceptual and more idealist than second chakra type, who just create out of impulse. You see, just for sheer beauty, for sheer expression of the moment. So that's why I said they are the poetic type.
So it's creation for the sake of creation in the moment. It's very visceral as opposed to thought produced.
Exactly. Yes, yes.
Now, the third chakra is called Manipura and is located at the solar plexus. We think of solar, we think of the yellow energy, as you mentioned, the yellow light and the yellow energy. What are the traits of the Manipura personality?
Well, just think of the embodiment of endless energy, because this is what they are. They are this yellow sun, and this makes them completely energetic and completely willful. So that means that makes them a very great achieving spirits. They like to set goals and destinations, and then to rush towards them with tremendous determination, moving away anything that stands in their way, including, by the way, unfortunately, people and situations. That's why they sometimes can be angry, enraged, because They don't like anything to interrupt. They are the workaholics. They love to work. They love action. And really, they love the very process of self-overcoming, of conquering mountains and including conquering themselves. So that's that makes them, of course, deeply identified with action. And sometimes they don't know what to do with their energy, and they can be prone to a great deal of comparison, of status issues, of wanting to be number one in whatever they do, and so on.
What type of occupations would you find third chakra personalities in?
Traditionally, it's the warriors. What we could imagine is those who go to war, the great soldiers. But nowadays it would be the businessmen, those who always think of conquering the heights available in the material world. And they can be also athletes, like marathon runners. Whoever likes to run steadily towards a goal with their eye on the prize.
Almost sounds also like politicians could fit within that category.
Some of them, especially the unrestrained ones, who are less into clear ideologies, because fifth chakra types, the throat chakra, they are the very careful and cautious and idealist politicians that are driven by some kind of greater cause. Third chakra type politicians, they just like to conquer, to lead, and to create a sort of achieving spirit among their people.
Mm. So it's more about winning than caring about others.
Exactly, yes.
Now,
yes.
The fourth chakra is the Anahata or heart chakra. Is this type all about loving and caring?
Superficially, we can say that. Surely, if you want to identify them, you just need to ask them, do you feel that we are here just to manifest love, to be love in a human form? If they say, their answer is, but of course, what else could that be? Then you know that you have come across one of them, because they are indeed driven by the emotional center, and they interpret and experience the world emotionally. Now, as romantic as this may sound, this also makes them highly dependent, because they always need to relate to some other half, someone else around which they weave their own personality and identity, and they can also be hypersensitive. They can be easily insulted, and sometimes even their interest in the emotional experience turns into themselves, making them a sort of narcissistic personalities, ones who always need to refer everything, whatever happens, to their own experience. But they are also the caretakers of the world. They always like to heal. You will find them among coaches, among people who really care for others, for children, and sometimes just very loving family members. Their basic impulse is to devote themselves to some other.
And our fourth chakra personalities, because when we know a lot of types who devote themselves to others, often do it at the expense of themselves, that they can love externally but can't love themselves. Is that part of that personality?
Yes. Sometimes the greatest lesson is to stop waiting for someone else to confirm their existence, and to be able to turn this love to themselves. Yes, I always give the example of Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa was a heart chakra type, and she, after she died, her letters, some personal letters she wrote were published, And these letters reveal something astonishing, that this all-giving, amazing human being was actually deeply troubled by feeling completely unheard by God. So she felt herself rejected. And that was actually a great incentive for her to take care of others and to encourage them to feel heard and recognized. So that's a classical heart chakra type.
Thank you for sharing. That's amazing to hear that she, in her giving and so generously giving and caring for others, and yet in her heart of hearts, she felt unloved by God. That's amazing to me.
Yes.
Can you give us
the complexity?
That is the complexity. You had mentioned Mother Teresa in that regard. Can you give us an example of some others? Like, who would be an example of a third chakra, someone famous that we would know?
Well, nowadays, obviously, Donald Trump is a third chakra type that is very known. But you can also take, for example, Alexander the Great and Lance Armstrong. Second chakra type, I always like to, although I have, there is such a great list. There is Marilyn Monroe. If you just take a look at 5 minutes of her acting, you immediately get that feeling of this radiant flair that is so full of excitement, but also is so prone to moods and to extremes.
Mm-hmm. And first chakra.
Well, I also always give the example of Confucius. Confucius, the great Chinese master, he always used to teach the importance of heritage and the connection to family and to our ancestors, and how obeying the laws of society is our spiritual path.
Mm.
That is a very beautiful example.
My guest is Shai Tubali. He's the author of The Seven Chakra Personality Types. We'll be back with more of Shai after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Shai Tubali. He's the author of The Seven Chakra Personality Types. So Shai, in the last segment, we were talking up to the fourth chakra. Let's talk about the fifth chakra, or throat chakra. How does our ability to communicate come into play?
Well, they are the great influencers. We can call them the great teachers of mankind, because they are really driven by the wish to teach, and they experience their fulfillment in life in the moments, through the moments in which they actually manage to influence others and to make the ideas that they believe in contagious and then spread throughout culture. So here we find those who has a great capacity for language, for transmission, and And they can be highly charismatic. Here we mentioned before politicians. They can be speakers and revolutionaries and also, by the way, best-selling authors, because they really know how to translate great ideas into contagious influence. So they often also like to create synthesis between different ideologies, between science and spirituality, between all kinds of opposing forces, and to bridge between them. Now, because they are a throat chakra type and they have a great capacity to influence, they are also manipulative. They know how to control people's minds and to make them think in certain ways. And that's why it's very good when they support clean type of ideologies. And they can be very controlling, because they have a sort of an agenda in their mind that they want to fully materialize. And that is why they become completely agitated when this agenda is not manifesting properly. Mm-hmm. They are highly idealistic, sometimes, by the way, dreamy, because they always think of the distant future, how humanity could be one day, and how the steps we're taking now are an investment towards the future. And that also makes them sometimes impractical, because they hope that just by thinking and envisioning, things will happen in reality. That's what we call a magical thinking.
Mm. Mm. Can you give us an example of a couple of people?
Oh, yes. There is my most admirable example is Martin Luther King Jr., mm-hmm. Who is, and also Barack Obama, and Carl Sagan from the field of science, mm-hmm. who was so wonderful in translating scientific ideas into relevant and burning issues of his viewers and readers. So that's a good example.
Now, the sixth chakra is the Ajna, or third eye. What are the traits of Ajna personalities?
So these are the philosophers of the world, and because they are, unlike the first chakra type, who are interested in the how the world works, they are interested in the why. Why systems work in certain ways? What is the origin of the universe? Why does the human psyche function as it functions? They are really interested in the most profound secrets of the universe and experience the whole universe as sort of a riddle that is waiting to be disclosed. So for that, they devote a lot of energy, and that's why they are sometimes can be thought of big heads on very slim bodies that barely hold them. Mm. Their entire life is the life of the mind. And the energy always flows to their head, from which they observe humanity, but even observe themselves. So that makes them pretty detached people. They don't get too involved in the human experience. And they even analyze their own emotions. Everything is something to be analyzed. And they like to be alone. And they could actually be in one room for 1 week without interruption, or in their lab while researching. That's why you often find them in the academic world, where they can hide behind books.
Now, do we also associate Ajna, or third eye personalities or people, with being highly intuitive? Is that something that you found?
Yes, intuitive in the sense that their thinking is very unusual. It comes. It is not the type of linear thinking, but a sort of an out of the box thinking that they always listen. And because they have such a deep attention, they can come up with deeper insights that elude other personalities.
Mm. And can you give us some examples, please?
Oh, yes. That's we can give Albert Einstein and Sigmund Freud, also Carl Jung, by the way, on the other hand, Stephen Hawking, and all those, and there's also in the spiritual philosophical world, there is Ken Wilber, and there's also Socrates. Those who devoted themselves to the great questions of mankind and were actually really keen on finding the theory of everything.
The seventh chakra is the Sahasrara, or the crown chakra. Are those who possess this personality type very spiritual?
Yes, sometimes unfortunately they don't know it, and that can be actually a source of great distress for them, especially when they get when they find themselves in the Western society, deep in this culture, they simply don't know what they don't understand why they feel so detached and so disinterested in the material world, in ordinary ambitions. They sometimes become drifters because of the high level of spiritual energy. They are extremely airy, and if they were conscious of their passion, they would instantly move to some ashram or monastery, or what used to be in olden times cave, because they are interested in withdrawing and devoting all their energy to the internal realms, to their subjective worlds of spirit, the astral worlds, the subtle anatomy, and whatever form of God they feel attracted to.
So we think of the word.
This makes them great. Sorry, yes.
Yes, we think of the word hermit or hermitage, someone who secludes themselves in thought and in examination of the human condition.
Exactly, but not so much examination of the human condition, but more seeing through this human condition and finding instead the spirit. It's in a way that they never feel that they belong to the world.
Mm.
They feel as if they've falling from grace, that they're mistakenly finding themselves in human bodies, and all they want is to return to spirit. And that's why, of course, the spiritual path is pretty easy to them, while living in Western societies can be very harsh.
Now, I have to say that for me personally, in reviewing your material and going through these questions with you, I see myself as a combination of several of these personality types. And I've also experienced in my life that the older I get, the more I shift from one personality type to another. Is that what you find?
There is, of course, a constant shift, and there are periods in life in which our soul guides us to focus on certain chakras more than others, and to be, because we need to essentially to develop all seven chakras. When we really ask ourselves, okay, but in terms of percentage, what could I say that is closest to 100% in my orientation? Is there something that is 90 or 80 or even 70% that is my core perception and experience of life? So I know that, of course, that creates a sort of a dual experience, because on the one hand there is this diversity, and definitely God or the cosmos wants us to experience this diversity to its fullest potential, but there is always two or three chakras that constitute our deepest type of meaning and happiness in life, what makes us truly and profoundly fulfilled.
Mm, absolutely. What would you like your readers to take away from the book?
Oh, well, there are different aspects. Aside from self-awareness, which of course is extremely important, what I would say is first of all, self-acceptance. Because sometimes we find ourselves in an uncomfortable position in which we have accustomed to adjusted our personality to society or to people who live around us or who work with us, and self-acceptance here is when we really manage to look into ourselves and to find find our most comfortable position in the world. Then there's also balancing, being able to balance our excesses as this personality type. But really, what is the purpose that is close to my heart is being able to accept others and to stop judging them, to realize that all of the seven chakra personality types have a certain role, both in our own individual life and in society. So when we understand that, we can look at people not from a judgmental perspective, but from an embracing perspective that focuses on their gifts.
And realize that when we take all of the types and we're all together, we become the whole, the unified whole, the balanced whole, which is what this life is really supposed to be about. My guest this week, Shai Tubali, he's the author of The Seven Chakra Personality Types. Shai, please one more time tell our listeners where you can get your book and find out more about your work.
Yeah, so you can find the book on any online store, bookstore, Amazon and so on, and everywhere in any bookstore in the United States. And my website is www.shaitubali.com, and there's also the Seven Awakenings Facebook English page.
Shai, thank you so much for joining us. This work is wonderful, and it's really enlightening, and I know I have a little bit of work to do in identifying my personality types, because I'm quite a blend of several of them. So yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. It was wonderful.
And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor, the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.